This is dedicated to the parade field trooper, who never leaves that nice soft garrison and always looks real pretty. Now in the war-torn jungles of Vietnam, you'll find a certain kind of man. You'll see him everywhere. He's a trooper, a Garrett trooper. Yeah, he's 5'4", 228 pounds of blubber. Got him a nickel-plated 45 tied down low. Quick draw holster, two bandoliers of brass-old ammo. Yeah, he's a trooper, a Garrett trooper. He's fought from Saigon to Nha Trang, in every bar that is, and then only with the girls, and he ain't won one yet. But he's a trooper, a Garrett trooper. He's got a hip knife, a side knife, a boot knife, a shoulder knife, and a little bitty one. It's a combination flare gun, dinner set, and genuine police whistle. But he's a trooper, a Garrett trooper. Now I run into one the other day. He told me a story. Said he had just this minute come back from 15 days running fight against the Kong. Said he'd captured a lot of loot. You know what I saw when I looked down? A spit shine boot. Yeah, he's a trooper, a Garrett trooper.
Garrett trooper.
Now a poor old pilot come back today. Half his crew was killed. Aircraft shot to hell. But he don't say much. He's not a trooper, a Garrett trooper. And out in the hills and the jungles and the swamps, living like a bunch of dogs, are some men wearing funny little green hats. They stay out there and fight for months on end. They don't say much, cause they're not troopers. Garrett troopers.
Garrett troopers.
And I'll bet finally, when I leave this war-torn land, the last thing I'll see will be, though I may be in a drunken stupor, I bet it'll be a Garrett trooper.
Garrett trooper.
Yeah, they're all over the place. Ain't hardly worth going to war no more.
Well, that doesn't exactly fit John McCain, but I've never thought much of John McCain, and I really, really would like to know from the Vietnamese exactly what happened when he was prisoner of war. Now, remember, he's the son of an admiral, and he's flying jets, blowing away hundreds of Vietnamese, and then he gets involved in the Iran-Contra thing back here at home. CIA selling drugs into the black neighborhoods of L.A. and so forth. And then he was in on the big scam in California. The Keating scam. Keating went to prison, but John was saved by his father-in-law, who had lots of money and the biggest beer and coke distributor in Arizona. So anyhow, I have no use for him, never have. This is Terrible Tommy, Tom Metzger in the bunker here on Moon's Day in Warsaw, Indiana, or near Warsaw, Indiana, where it's green, green, green. And I'm telling you, I don't know how much more water we can stand around here. But luckily, we're on the high ground, so we don't worry about it. We're at P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. My daddy always used to say, always build on the high ground. Don't build down there by the river. There's a lot of people around here and all over the country that have been sold property next to these rivers, and like the one in California that I was used to, because it ran right through close to me. They have a 100-year flood, and believe me, they had one, and it came down through there about 100 years before that. They had a big one down through the canyon, and it took a whole railroad train 30 miles and dumped it in the Pacific Ocean. So you don't want to build your house unless you put it on stilts next to a creek or a river. You know, my creek out here now has gotten up to just about the size of the Jordan River over in Israel that you hear about. Yeah, it's almost, in many places, my creek is as wide as the Jordan River. You think of the Jordan River being something like the Mississippi? No, it's not. Well, all the professionals are going after old Trump. Of course, he had to have known that that was going to happen. I want to tell you something. And then they always yell veteran. All these people that never went to the war at all are always saying, oh, the wonderful veteran, the wonderful veteran. Well, I'm a veteran, and all I consider myself to have been is just an employee in the federal government for 3 years. That's all I see it as. Now, I joined up after the Korean War and before the Vietnam War. In fact, they just had started sending advisors over there. But I didn't get caught up into it, but if I had, I'd have had to go on. So anyhow, and it wouldn't have been because I'm a great big brave person. It would have been because somebody told me I had to or I'd go to jail. Really, anybody that had any sense back then would either go on to Canada or just hid out. This idea that you're a wonderful hero because you went to another country in an undeclared war and killed millions of people who never attacked you. As far as I know, the North Koreans or any Koreans never attacked the United States that I know of. But Americans have this exceptionalism. It's okay for us to occupy and kill as many as we want. So I don't give a veteran that went to Vietnam or Korea any special points other than saving him his own self and maybe saving some of his buddies. But the act of going into these undeclared wars in foreign countries and killing sometimes millions of people is bullshit. And I don't worship any of these people. I don't even have any more respect than I do for the guy that works down at the gas station. That's my point of view. Actually, I think Trump's going to pick up more support from veterans for his statements, being honest about it and just saying it the way it is. Yeah, I think he's going to pick up more support. Everything. See, the rank and file that are getting all excited, they hate the establishment. Don't we all? They hate it. And when the establishment corporate press come out and hammer anybody that says anything that might be a little pro-white. Look at this, what was his name? Not McDonald, but McFarland or something. Anyhow, he got up there giving a speech the other day and he said, Black lives matter, white lives matter, all lives matter. And now they jumped all over him and he's such a coward he apologized for it. Apologized for what? He wasn't nigger enough? He wasn't nigger enough, and he learned the hard way. But the fact that he apologized means he's a coward anyhow, so I don't give a shit what happens to him. You know, I keep warning you against all these right-wing, you know, these guys like Glenn Pecker and all of them. You know, if you've been in this as long as I have, you'll know that these people crop up every decade or so, and they're like a big rocket on the 4th of July. They shoot up, they make a lot of noise, they make a lot of light, and then they're gone. And they've got all the answers to every question, and they're always right. And millions of conservative right-wing people follow these bastards, hanging on every word. And they are excellent at half-truths and false flag stories. And of course there's truth mixed into it too, so you can't, you know, well, that was true. Well, yeah, that was true, but what about what he said next? But that's why the right wing is so screwed up. They'll follow these guys till the end of the earth. And they'll give them plenty of money because they're running around in big cars and doing their shows in big studios and all that kind of stuff. Anyhow, I got one that's a funny one here on this last big flare-up, this false flag about this, all this military running around down in the South and they're getting ready to take over and Obama's going to declare his dictatorship. They do that every few years, all the time. Don't matter who's president. The guy's going to declare a national emergency and take power and all that kind of stuff. So this old Mike Malloy, who hates racists, and I think he pretty much hates all the white people in the South, but he did do this. It was sort of funny to show how gullible and how stupid these right-wing conservative and not just Southerners, but they seem to be more susceptible to it than a lot of other people. I'm going to play this for you.
This is almost reads like something by Hunter Thompson without the particular language. But listen to this. This is from Cristobal, Texas, is the dateline, little town in West Texas. Despite the internet chatter about trains with shackles and Walmart stores being closed to be used as detention camps, this small West Texas town on Wednesday seemed to be surviving the start of Jade Helm 15, the military exercise that some people fear is actually a ruse for a federal takeover of the state of Texas. No military equipment or personnel were visible. No tanks were rumbling past the beige metal community center on Main Street next door to the fire station here, the scene of 4-H club meetings and family reunions, but that did not mean that people were not on the alert. Jack Campbell, 61, was picking up his mail at the post office. He said, "I've been looking." Campbell said that he had concerns about the exercise and that he purchased extra ammunition for the weapons he keeps in his home, just in case, added Campbell, an emergency physician in San Angelo, 20 miles away. "People are just vigilant, not vigilantes, but vigilant. They don't want to be caught off guard," end quote. Another resident here said a friend of his, a Vietnam vet, started burying some of his firearms to hide them. The farmer was rumored to have taken a different approach by buying 20,000 rounds of ammunition. The superintendent of the school district thought he saw low-flying military cargo planes overhead. Members of the Cristobal Volunteer Fire Department, which owns the community center, signed an agreement with military officials stating, oddly to some, suspiciously to others, that the Army will pay for any damage to the building after it uses it. Uh-oh! Cindy Miller, who runs a hair salon on Main Street, said fears of a military takeover have been the talk of Cristobal, which is southeast of Midland. Ms. Miller said, quote, "They're worried that they're going to come in and take their firearms away. Martial law, basically. I try not to listen to all these conspiracy theory type people. All they're worried about is their beer and their guns." End quote. Then further in the piece, Fernandez writes, off-base training exercises involving role-playing are not new. Candidates for the Army Special Forces take part in a four-week drill known as Robin Sage in rural North Carolina, but the size and scope of Jade Helm 15 make it unusual. The military exercise will train special ops troops in what Army planners call unconventional warfare. The exercise is being conducted in rural Texas because the military needed, quote, large areas of undeveloped land with low population densities with access to towns, end quote, and wanted soldiers to adapt to unfamiliar terrain as well as the social and economic conditions, according to Army documents. In East Texas, near the Louisiana border, the troops have permission in Marion County to use their aircraft on a private runway. The community center in Cristobal will be used for, as one local official described it, an altercation site. A nighttime helicopter extraction will unfold in Disaster City, a mock community in College Station, Texas, where emergency responders train. Local officials who have been briefed on the exercise say it is modeled after the French resistance to Nazi occupation during World War II. It calls for some military personnel to play the role of the occupiers and for others to work undetected as part of the resistance. Military maps show Texas and Utah as hostile, other states as permissive, and still others as uncertain, but leaning hostile or friendly. But according to some right-wing bloggers and activists, the exercise is part of a secret plot by the Obama administration to impose martial law, confiscate firearms, invade red state Texas, or prepare for instituting what they call total population control. A report on InfoWars, a website operated by psychotic Alex Jones, a libertarian-leaning radio talk host from Texas, I added the psychotic, suggested HELM was an acronym for Homeland Eradication of Local Militants. Jesus Christ, this guy is crazy. Back to Fernandez. Military organizers have not explained the meaning of the exercise's name, its slogan, or its logo. The logo features a Dutch wooden clog at the center of two intersecting arrows and a sword. And its slogan? Master the human domain. Sounds like something out of Seinfeld. Jesus. The level of realism sought by Army planners and uncertainty about whether troops will try to blend in with civilians during the exercise have heightened the curiosity and unease among some Texans. The military has told local officials that fire extinguishers will be at each training site and that some personnel may carry weapons loaded with blank ammunition or paintball-style training cartridges. According to a PowerPoint presentation prepared by military organizers for Texas officials, some Jade Helm 15 participants, quote, may conduct suspicious activities, end quote, as part of their training, and others, quote, will be wearing civilian attire and driving civilian vehicles. Jesus Christ. Anyway, back to Cristobal, Texas. An unincorporated town of about 500. Scott Degenier, age 53, smoked a cigarillo outside his home and said he was not sure what to think about Jade Helm 15, but he had suspicions. Two flags flapped in the breeze on his porch, an American flag and a Confederate battle flag. Signs on his house and in his yard read, "Pray for America!" And, "Warning, the door you're about to break down is locked for your protection." Mr. Degenier, a Navy veteran, said he saw a Black Hawk helicopter flying over Cristobal on Sunday. And he understands the paranoia that would lead some people to bury their firearms. He said, you know, quote, with Obama being in there, with the way he's already stomped all over the Constitution, pushing his presidential authority to the max, it would only be just the stroke of a pen for him to do away with that. This man is just totally anti-U.S. I mean, he just signed a deal with Iran. Jesus Christ. End quote. Throughout the interview, Mr. Degenier was skeptical whether the reporter and photographer from the New York Times who spoke with him were members of the news media, and wondered if they were part of Jade Helm 15. Special ops grows beards, he says, referring to the photographer's facial hair. Y'all got a military ID? Oh, my God. And there's more. While much of the attention on Jade Helm 15 is focused on conspiracy theories, Army planners have spent months quietly persuading private property owners and small town leaders to welcome them to their communities. Many local officials and ranchers have granted troops access to their land and buildings without asking for compensation in return. In the West Texas town of El Dorado, the local authorities gave the Army approval to use a vacant hospital for office space, though the Army did not ask to use it. And El Dorado's longtime mayor, John Nicolock, said he is allowing the troops to use his ranch. Mr. Nicolock, a former U.S. Air Force pilot, said, quote, "We're a very patriotic part of the country, and we think it's great." Mr. Nikolak and other local officials said they considered the internet rumors about Jade Helm far-fetched. A commissioner in Tom Green County, whose district includes Cristobal, said, quote, if the government had an idea they can come in and take over and take guns away, the stupidest place they could come is West Texas. There's more guns and ammo here and more people willing to use them than any combat area they've ever fought in. Jesus, God in heaven. More so, dumbass, than in, say, Quezon or different places in Vietnam or Fallujah or... Oh, never mind, Malloy, don't even do that. You know, in the first place, military operations, training exercises for unconventional warfare, you know what that means. It means assassination squads. If they're using the French resistance to the Nazi occupation as a model, you know what they're talking about. Sabotage, blowing things up, killing people. Unconventional warfare. I mean, that's bad enough. But these yahoos, especially being fed by this true psycho Alex Jones, I mean, this guy is so far over the edge now, I don't know. I don't know what to think. Good God. Jade Helm 15. Yeah, they're going to use abandoned Walmarts to detain people under the watchful eyes of Chinese military guards. Stupid bastards. We'll be right back.
Well, you know, people can say all they want about the left wing or the progressives, but they do put out a lot of stuff that is okay. And some of it's very important. In this case, they're correct. These people are nuts. And, but you see, if it were true, then what are all these patriotic people out there supporting it? You got part of the people that are arming themselves against it, and the rest of them are, oh, come on into town, you can have anything you want. What a screwed up race we have. I'm telling you. And, yeah, Alex Jones is certifiable. There's no doubt in my mind. And I think there's going to be a day come when he has to be institutionalized. But the problem is, and they'll make a big conspiracy out of that. They drug him away because he's telling all the truth to all the people. That's what they'll do. They drug poor Alex away in a straitjacket because he's telling the truth. They can't have the truth out there, man. I went through this all, I told you, back in the 60s. They had us all primed like this. All kinds of crazy-ass stories. And every president that came along was going to assume dictatorial power, martial law. Every time, you know, in the 80s, they had all these tank cars going across the country with supposedly some kind of chemical in it that was going to be used against the people. They had all kinds of alleged concentration camp type material. I remember they said that down here in Indianapolis. And that was in the 90s. They said they were going to take over and use the big area where the post office is or was. It was a giant place, many acres, giant parking lot. And they were all ready. FEMA was down there all ready to go. Well, I drove all the way down there to Indianapolis. And I went over to this place. And it did have a chain link fence around it, which was old and tattered, about like the one at the border, but it was there. And the only thing there was a few cars. There was almost nobody. somebody was probably doing something in there, and I think the post office was still doing some collecting in there for the trucks or something. But there was nothing going on. There was no FEMA there. So I've learned a long time ago, but I remember people moving out of around where I lived there in Southern California up into the mountains in the 60s. They're coming. Only then, like I told you the other day, it's the Russians. The Russians are coming and the Chinese are coming. They're even here. They're down in Mexico. They got a whole Chinese army down in Mexico. And they're training with the Mexicans. And believe me, there was paranoia, pandemonium. All the talk show guys were going crazy back then, you know. We had our Alex Jones people back then. And a lot of these guys sold their houses and everything else and bought little properties up in the mountains. I've been up there. I've seen them. Armed to the teeth, waiting since the mid-60s. Well, I'm sure all the ones I met are dead long ago. And the Russians never got here. Chinese never got here. But that's the game the politicians play. This is very serious to them, to keep the public misinformed or uninformed or lied to, and just keep different segments of society going crazy. And that's part of the game. The Republicans played the race card, and now they've been backing away from the race card for a long time, which meant they were never sincere in the first place. Now, if the white race would have stood up and started blasting, and most of those Republican congressmen and senators would say, "I was with you all the time. I was with you all the way, man. I'm with you. Don't shoot me." But I think we'd shoot him anyhow because of crimes against the people. So now we got the big deal with Trump, and you know, it's a lot of entertainment. And Trump is causing a big stir in the Republican Party, but they're complaining about Trump, all the Republican hierarchy, but really they like what he's doing because they're going to make him, and the media is going to make him look so crazy that's going to make these other Republicans that are running look moderate. And that's what the people want. People don't want to really have a civil war, revolution, or clean house. No, they don't. They always want to go the easy way. So they'll sit back and they'll say, "Well, I agree with some of those things Trump said, but, you know, we all know because the press told us, even Fox TV, he's a crazy man. He's a crazy man. So I'm going to vote for one of these other turds." Because they're moderate. In other words, no guts, totally bought off, totally corrupt, and just like every other time. I hope you didn't think of, you know, last election with John McCain, what a horrible candidate he was. I knew there was no possibility of him winning anything. And then dragging that Palin along with him. And like I said, if you'd watch the some of the news where they're getting on an airplane and Sarah Palin's ahead and John McCain's behind, and boy, I tell you, you can see his eyes on her ass all the way up the gangplank. John spent the whole campaign looking at her ass. Anyhow, it's going to be great entertainment, but you got to learn to laugh about it because, I mean, it doesn't do you any good to cry. Don't do you any good to stomp your feet, and at this point, it wouldn't do you any good to go out shooting anybody because who would you shoot? There's so goddamn many of them that should be shot, you couldn't figure out which one to shoot. And it wouldn't make any difference anyhow because there'd be 100 of the bastards fighting each other to get their stand on their dead body and take their place. So that's my feeling about it. Now, somebody asked me, I mentioned on one of the shows about different ways, if you're going to have a demonstration, to protect yourself and security, and asked me to relate some of the things I know and some of the things I ran into. Well, I've never been a cop, and I've never been a big, tough military guy, but I've studied a lot and read a lot of history. Now, the tactics in the streets, now, I'm not recommended to do this anymore because they're all set up against us now. If I walked into the streets or marched into the streets the way we marched into the streets, they would grab our ass immediately because we were real paramilitary. Black uniforms, black police crash helmets, batons, leather gloves, plastic crotch protectors. Some of us even had legal guns, and we had trained guard dogs with us. You think we could do that today? Well, anyhow, the Romans, and I'm sure they had it long before the Romans, had it down pretty good. If you're outnumbered by a hell of a lot of people, first of all, you got to dress right for security. And you've got to probably wrap yourself with tape around your midsection, and you got to wear a crotch protector, and also underneath your shirt or your uniform, whatever it might be, you got to wear just a plain T-shirt or plain uniform, not white, because white shows blood too easy. When your opposition see blood on your shirt, that gets them going. They love that. They think they're winning. They might be, but you need to be in a position to where if you have to take off and retreat, you can shed that uniform, and as you're running down an alley and come out of the other end with a baseball cap on and an old shirt, and usually you can get away with keeping your combat boots. I say if you're going into the streets, you have to have combat boots. Hard, steel-toed combat boots, and like that. And, of course, a supply of spray, mace or whatever. The other kind is better. It really works great. But I remember when we were going to have a get-together in Oxnard, California. We got there 2 days before the so-called demonstration was supposed to happen, and so we trained for one full day. We had the use of one of our members' backyards. And we got out there and did the old thing, you know, like a military formations and like that, and we were practicing all day. And, of course, we also had the old reel-to-reel when video tape recording was first starting. I had equipment, and we would send our regularly dressed people, a couple of them, in an inconspicuous vehicle down to where we knew that the opposition was forming, and we'd videotape quite a bit of that, maybe a couple of hours of it, determine what they were up to and how many there were and where they're going to be. And then we got out in the street, and the Romans had the flying wedge, which was a V made up of men, soldiers. Now, these things are used in wars in foreign countries, if you're in a position where you can do that. If you're going through the jungle, it's pretty hard to do that. But my favorite is the diamond formation, which I learned in basic training. You have, let's see, about 3-3-3-3. About 12 guys. And the point man has usually got a heavy-duty military weapon. Back when I was doing it, it was a BAR, Browning automatic rifle. That's a mean son of a bitch. And then on the sides of the diamond, you have those two men on either side with maybe BARs or automatic weapons. And then in the back man bringing up the rear was heavily armed with a Browning automatic rifle. And everybody, of course, would have in military would have grenades and so forth. But without any of that armament, except for maybe pepper spray and a baton, you can move down the street like a human tank. And the cops use this kind of stuff if they're smart. I see a lot of cops don't know shit or shinola about, they think they know crowd control, but the way they set up in the streets, it don't look like they do, because they look like just a clusterfuck of a bunch of cops going every which way. And that's not the way you do it. But anyhow, you move slowly down the street, and if they attack you from the right, you got your men there with adequate protection. If they attack you from the left, you got protection. If they happen to get into the diamond, then you turn internally, all of you, and beat the crap out of them, and then go back to being a diamond. So sometimes it's a little hard to maintain your diamond formation if you're heavily outnumbered, which every time I went into the streets, we were heavily outnumbered. Yeah. But we never got hurt, and I never had a man jailed using correct tactics. I think the police really respected us back then. If you see any of those videotapes back in the 70s, we actually followed the law, and we were attacked, and we defended ourselves. So, but I wouldn't do it today. I wouldn't recommend anybody do it today. I think we're way past that, and there's no use people risking life, fortune, your jobs, everything, your marriage. Because they're all set for you now. I knew the fix was in when they started telling you guys, well, you could demonstrate, but you got to all park over here in our approved parking lot and get onto our approved police bus, and we'll take you to the approved spot surrounded by chain link fence, and then you can demonstrate. I don't think so, asshole. We always used to park our cars way out and separated, you know, so that the crap hit the fan. You could roam around the streets and just assume just a regular citizen's looks, and gradually, even if you have to wait till after dark, get to your car. Otherwise, they'd trash your car. I remember in Oceanside, California, the cops wanted us to put our cars all down by the center that where the riot took place. Now, if we'd have put all our cars down there, there was about 200 of these yahoos, mostly Mexicans and whites, almost no blacks. In the riots I've been involved in, there was almost no blacks. It was white radical reds and Mexicans. But anyhow, if we'd have parked down there, they had the chain link fence all set up around our cars. Well, those people would have got in there and wiped out all those cars, maybe set them on fire. I used to meet with the leaders of the cops and the police chiefs and stuff like that and try to hammer out an agreement. But what I found, unfortunately, was that they never keep an agreement. They'll lie to you and everything else. So you can't believe a damn word any police chief or any of his men tell you. And if you find one you can believe, well, you better still be very suspicious. They kept telling us what they wanted us to do, and everything they wanted us to do we saw as suicide, understanding the situation. Another thing we did was when you're going into an area where you know there's going to be problems, back then they had payphones, quite a few payphones around the community, and you stake out those payphones. So usually they have two payphones in one spot. You put a sign, go around ahead of time and put a sign on one out of commission. Then you assign one of your men in regular civilian clothes without any identification to be at the other phone. And even though he's not talking on there, he's got it under control so he can make it look like he's talking to somebody. And then those people were all in contact with central control. In that case, it was at my house in Fallbrook, California, where we had people standing by for messages, and we had also medical people, two or three nurses there, which ultimately we did use for minor scrapes and all that kind of stuff. Takes a lot of preparation to do it right, and if you do it right, you're probably going to come out okay, but like I say, I don't think now. They've got the green light to just do about anything to us, so I think that's the green light. We've got the green light to do about anything to them too if we decide to do it. So what else did we do? We all wore bulletproof vests too, and that's important. And I remember once before we went to this, turned into a riot at out there in California, Oxnard, California. I met with the chief of police. His name was Papa George, Greek name, I think. And we said, "Well, how many cops are going to have at this thing?" And he said, "Well, we'll have 8 or 9. I says, "8 or 9, you dummies. This is the Progressive Labor Party. They put 9 cops in a hospital in Chicago, threw acid in their faces, and you're going to just have a skeleton crew out there? We're not telling you how to do your business, because we know how we're going to do our business. But you're going to have cops in a hospital." The guy said, "Whoa, no, we got it handled." Incidentally, the day of the riot, he went to Mexico on vacation, the chief of police. Gives you a little idea about him. So anyhow, the day of the riot came, and they expected us to drive our cars down to this big city hall, convention center. Nice place. And our job was, we were going to collect money for this two kids, this guy and girl who had been murdered and raped by the Mexicans. And we were going to show Birth of a Nation in the hall. And the Progressive Labor Party said that in the paper that if we got into that hall, they would have lost. So about an hour before the meetings to start, we have a U-Haul truck pull up at the house where we're training, and all the guys get on the truck. And when we're ready to go, somebody hits the side of the truck, and away the truck goes. And so we get down by the community center where this is happening, and all we see is these small groups of Reds pretending like they're having a picnic spread around through the park. And they're not suspect at all. So we stopped the big truck right in front of the hall, and a guy hits on the side of the truck, and about 15 of our troops come out of the truck, complete with a case carrying the projector and the film and everything that we wanted to show. We had about 50 feet to make it inside the community center, and at some point the Reds finally figured out what was going on, but they were unprepared. They jumped up from their picnics, and they had a truck down the street rolling pieces of steel about 12 inches long with their commie newspaper. These were what they used to get you. One of those things come flying over and hit you in the head and it can kill you. Anyhow, all our men made it into the community center, and just as these creeps almost caught us. And then we barred the door shut and the riot started. They were breaking out all the windows in the place and everything. They went berserk when they weren't able to get to us, and they were running through the neighborhood like crazies. Some guys in the news said these commies ran in the front door right out through the... They're sitting there watching TV, and these Reds are running right through their house and out the back door. So they spread the riot out and tried to punish the people of Oxnard because they couldn't get to us. So when we went to getting ready to leave, and the cop comes in to talk to us, and I said, we're going to take these table legs and all this stuff and for weapons. Oh, you can't have any weapons. Oh, can't have any weapons, huh? So anyhow, he said, we told the cop, look here, give us your gun, you go home, we'll take care of the situation. He didn't like that very much. But anyhow, we did get on. Well, they pretty much spread the Reds all over town by this time, so the truck pulls up, put our men back on, and away we go. Nobody hurt, no problem at all. But it did thousands of dollars worth of damage to the community center. They tried to sue us, but they found out that didn't work. And I told people before that inside there, they had two or three janitors that were scared to death for their lives, and they could see what was happening. So they opened up all the broom closets and stuff, and so we could get things to use for weapons. And we brought the fire hoses down off the wall where we could shoot water out the front of the place and knock these guys over with a big high-pressure water stream. Well, in the process, nine cops were seriously injured. Several of them went to the hospital. And we saved one's life because they had hit him in the head with one of these pipes and split his helmet down. He had blood all coming down all over his face. And they were prepared just to keep tromping and killing him right at the front of this place. And we reached out, drove him off, and pulled that cop in. If we hadn't pulled him in, he'd have been a dead cop. Of course, we never get credit for things like that. So anyhow, that's pretty much of anything else you want to ask me that I've not covered. You just email me and ask me, and I'll tell you. But we did that on several occasions, several riots, and came off okay. But I wouldn't do the same thing today because there's no objective fairness at all. They would just simply crush us. The cops would. We never had problem fighting the creeps. We could handle them okay, but of course if the cops are directed, well, they almost got us in Oceanside, California when 200 of these creeps are following us down the street as we leave the place where I gave a speech. And the cops got in between the demonstrators and us, and they were running interference for the creeps. The commies were throwing bottles and bricks over the heads of the cops at us. And at no time did the cops ever turn around and confront the rioters. So anyhow, that shows you a little bit of how the game is played. Anyhow, that's it for now on this subject. And any questions you have, and if you can find out all this stuff I'm telling you is the truth, because it's in the newspaper morgues and... You know, not the Daily Breeze, that's Santa Monica, but in the North County newspaper, I forget what it was called at the time. They have it in their files, and San Diego union. You can get the pictures and all that stuff from them, because we're not telling you a bunch of bullshit like a lot of right wingers would tell you. Oh yeah, most of the guys who went with me into the Klan in 75, a lot of them came out of the Rockwell organization. There wasn't much going on with the NS, so a lot of these were old time fighters. You'd think they'd all be young guys, and most of them were, but we had guys as old as 60 years old out there in the streets. And my friend Sam, I can't remember his last name, but anyhow, Sam was the cameraman for Rockwell, and he used to go whenever Rockwell was in the western part of the country. He would always film. Now, right in the middle of this riot, where we got 100 cops marching towards us, we got 200 commie creeps throwing rocks at us, and here's Sam right out in the middle of all this with rocks flying, bottles flying, everything else, with nothing but a construction hard hat on, filming in Super 8 or 8mm. I mean, he must have been he didn't have any weapon, he didn't have any shields, and I forgot to tell you, that was a good idea, we had shields. Boy, that saved our cookies many times, plywood shields, until the cops wouldn't let us use them anymore. They wanted to take away anything we could defend ourselves with. They claimed it would be aggressive. But there's Sam standing in the middle of this full-scale riot, and all he had was that construction metal helmet, and he's standing there turning around, taking pictures of everything. I can't believe that he didn't get killed. Well, Sam was a tough guy. He moved down to the San Diego area simply because I was down there. And he did live in L.A., and the kind of balls he had were something else. He rode a motorcycle, and he carried a cane sword on that motorcycle. And he would hand out literature any place. I mean, there could be 20 niggers around on a street corner, and he'd be standing right there handing out pro-white literature. And you'd think he'd have been killed, but he never was attacked that I know of, because people would say, a man with balls like that, man, you don't want to mess with. The same way with the older guy in Chicago, and I got a brain fart, who used to stand out in the middle of the neighborhoods in downtown Chicago handing out anti-Jew stuff. There's been quite a few of these older guys like that around over the years, and I knew them all, and I visited them all. And Sam is buried in a cemetery in South San Diego. Now, we do have on our internet different places where these graves are of our respected allies over the years, and if anybody wants to visit the grave and give respect. Now, let me tell you something about Sam, too. Sam said before he died, he said, I want to be buried with my Klan robe and my brown shirt. Well, he was separated or divorced from his wife, and she was in one of these crazy-ass religions, Seventh-day Adventists or something. And it got down to the wire where we're right out at the cemetery, and we wanted to put this Klan robe and brown shirt in the coffin. And the other side of his family didn't want it, but we got pretty tough about it. We even had to put some pressure on the funeral director right down at the graveside. He said, we can't open it up. I said, you will open it up. If you don't open it up, there's going to be violence. And so he did open up the lid, and we put in the Klan robe and the brown shirt. So that's the way that goes. One of our men played taps with a bugle. Yeah, very moving. Gee, I didn't think I was going to talk that long. We've almost run out of time, and I had some other stuff to talk about. Just a minute here. Now, you know, you know how the right wing and the conservatives have been going crazy over Obamacare? Oh, my God, he's a traitor. He's this, he's that, he's this and that, and everything else. Well, he is, because he is being used as a pawn in the game. And they're screaming with Obamacare, the insurance companies, they just can't make it. They can't make it, man, with Obamacare. Well, let me play something back for you to give you a little information. The right wing don't know what the hell it's talking about.
And what they see is a gorgeous...
I want to look at this chart, and these are the big... five health insurance companies, and these are the charts over the past 5 years. Some of them have tripled in
right.
the past 5 years, and yet a lot of the free market sorts say, oh, these poor health insurance companies, they can't deal with all these Obamacare people, blah, blah, blah. Well, their share price has certainly tripled.
No. You know, healthcare for profit is an oxymoron, and the idea that you should have healthcare providers becoming profiteers and gouging customers and causing huge numbers of fatalities and illnesses is not the way to build a healthy economy. You should not have your healthcare system run in this way. But Americans, of course, if you know, there was a company on the internet called Groupon.
Mm-hmm.
Where people would...
They still exist.
They still exist. But you kick in, everyone participates in kind of a simultaneous auction, if you will. And by the numbers, the economies of scale of everyone, let's say, wanting a discount on sushi, they get a discount on sushi. Now, that's called free market capitalism in America. If you say, you know what, if everyone participates in getting health care, we're going to buy 10 million syringes, 50 million bandages, 100 million aspirin, to get a better price, they say, well, that's socialism. So America likes to have the worst of both possible worlds.
Mm. Well, actually, we're going to get to that about this so-called efficiency and the merging of all these huge healthcare companies in America. But first, I want to quickly look at this one point here from a headline, health insurance prices take off, workers pay stagnant. So remember, last week we covered implementation. They've now said they need price increases of between 20 and 50%. Because the costs are greater than they thought, blah, blah, blah.
But according to Janet Yellen, there's no inflation.
Yeah, but
so they have to keep interest rates low.
But the government itself had projected a less than 1% increase for national health expenditures under PPACA, Obamacare. So they had projected, their own projections include the 1% increase, but according to the law as well, all those people who were put onto Medicaid, which is the state-run system, they expanded Medicaid. The government still has to cover whatever those costs are. So even they're put on the private insurance industry, but the government now has to pay this 50% increase in cost. So basically, the government is already paying this huge increase in cost of health care. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, across Europe, we have half the price, sometimes a third of the price of the total health care bill for the United States. And here's a headline, Aetna buys Humana for $37 billion, but deal doesn't add up, according to Forbes. So this is the largest ever deal in health industry deals, biggest deal. It would net, if these two merge, it would become the second largest health insurance provider in the United States after United Health. And there's also been a huge rash of all these mergers between various companies. In fact, we saw CVS bought Target last week, and also Anthem and Cigna, who are on these, Cigna, by the way, is the biggest increase on there, and Anthem, Blue Cross Anthem, are also going to merge. So you're going to have fewer and fewer options on these marketplaces that
yeah.
are supposed to determine your prices.
Yeah, Janet Yellen is more brain damaged than even Alexis Tsipras over down there in Greece, because she'll say that, first of all, the mergers they just talked about here. Well, Aetna's buying who?
Aetna is buying Humana.
Humana, okay. They're using borrowed money, effectively, from
yes.
Janet Yellen, and the cost of these funds is 0%. So why are the costs 0% for this huge multi-billion dollar merger to take place? Because Johnny Allen says there's no inflation. Because Johnny Allen doesn't know how to read a chart. This is the chart, essentially, of healthcare costs. Skyrocketing inflation. Services are skyrocketing in price. Goods, because they're made in China, you can outsource the jobs. Okay, those prices are not going up. But services, like stuff that people actually need. Right, you buy a suit, the price is not going up because it's made in freaking Vietnam. But if you get it dry cleaned at your local dry cleaner, the price is up 50%. Services are skyrocketing. This woman lives in a bubble. She's not informed about the outside world. She's having the second biggest economy in the world progress based on a theory that there's deflation and interest rates are low so that huge corporations can merge and impose monopoly pricing, bankrupting a country. This woman is either severely brain damaged or it needs to be arrested and thrown in a hole somewhere.
Well, speaking of arresting, so the other thing is that the services, Obamacare is by law mandatory. You have to have health insurance.
Who wrote the law, though? These people wrote the law.
Okay.
These healthcare people write the law.
I'm saying, but things like shoes, clothes, jackets, ties, those are discretionary. That's with whatever income is left over from your health insurance costs, from your student loan costs, and it's your choice whether you want to go to university or not. It's your choice whether you want to take that 25% increase in tuition fees per year.
You can also get a job operating a drone and killing Yemenis.
But you can't even do that. There's too much competition. You need, in the United States, you need a bachelor's degree to get a job at McDonald's. Because there's so many people with degrees.
Meanwhile, there's a 75-year-old trying to get the same job because Yellen bankrupted their savings account by keeping interest rates at zero.
Well, ironically, those 75-year-olds are much more likely to get the job because they have free health care of Medicare, thus reducing the cost for the employers. So they're much more desirable than young people. And again, here is the equivalent. This is an Obamacare. You should see this is like an Obamacare patient. These are people that are forced by health insurance. And over, now more and more studies are showing that people actually are deferring more health care. Not the bottom, not those who were really poor are now on Medicaid.
Right, Doctors Without Borders are opening clinics in America.
They were, but now those people qualify for Medicaid, so they get 100% of their costs covered. It's the middle class who are the only ones in America who pay taxes. You know, most of the Warren Buffetts of the world escape most of the taxes on their income. It's the middle class who can no longer afford because they are paying $10,000, $11,000, $12,000 a year for Obamacare and that have no money left over for the co-pays or when they show up at the doctor's office. And I would say the ACA appears to have only helped major insurers by driving millions of new customers into the market. Aetna and Humana have seen their stock valuations triple in the past 5 years since the ACA was signed into law, and the other three major insurers has also seen huge gains.
Well, you know, you mentioned Warren Buffett. Eventually, he'll rename his company from Berkshire Hathaway to America. The price per stock will not be $200,000 a share to buy stock of his new company, America. It'll be $5 or $10 million to buy one share of America. And those will be considered the Americans. There'll be maybe 30,000 of them, and everyone else will be living in a dead zone, which was the wedge between Canada and Mexico, with a bunch of guns and some GMO soybeans to fight over.
Oh, I hope you get the message. All that fuss about Obamacare is what the insurance companies wanted. Now they've tripled their profits since Obamacare. And remember, the insurance companies themselves wrote these laws. You got all these conservative right-wingers running around. We got to get rid of Obamacare. We got to get rid of Obamacare. And the capitalists are rubbing their hands together with glee. That's it for today. I'll see you tomorrow on Tears Day. That's right. I almost forgot what day it was. 14-5, and don't do what I have done in the past about these riots, because I'm afraid if you try it today, they will shoot you down just like they do the niggers. That is, if you're serious about it and go in there prepared and, you know, mean business. If you're just a flunky idiot with a robe on that's going to get dragged down the street. They don't mind that because that makes good cheap television news.
The real great adventures of me, Tom Terrific, with Mighty Manfred the Wonder Dog. Terrific! I'm Tom Terrific, greatest hero ever. Terrific is the name for me, 'cause I'm so clever. I can be what I wanna be, and if you'd like to see, follow, come follow me. If you see a plane on high, a diesel train go roaring by, a bumblebee or a tree, it's me. When there is trouble, I'm there on the double, from Atlantic to Pacific. They know I'm terrific.
I'm Mighty Manfred, the Wonder Dog, and Tom's ever faithful companion.